Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. And we're going to be in some Christmas texts the next 3 weeks. This morning we're looking at what do wise men do, what do wise people do, and then next week we're looking at God's Christmas tree, and then on Christmas morning, yes, we're having church on Christmas morning. Jesus is Christmas. We're going to be having church Christmas morning, and I'll be preaching the classic Christmas passage of Luke 2, verses 10 through 14. So anyways, that's what we've got to look forward to in the messages over the next 3 weeks. We're in Matthew chapter 2. And let me just, there's a story that came out a few years ago about a seminary faculty meeting. An angel showed up at this, imagine that. An angel showed up at a faculty meeting. But one of the professors there was a man of great character. A man of exemplary behavior, and had just been a wonderful, as a matter of fact, he was a dean of one of the schools there at the seminary. And so this angel wanted to reward him for his faithfulness and his just being a great professor and dean at this seminary. And so he shows up in the middle of this meeting and he says, I'm going to give you one of three gifts. I'm going to give you limitless wealth, unlimited wisdom, or unmatched beauty. Which one of those gifts would you like? And so the professor was wise enough to look around at his colleagues and get some advice from them. And they just kind of got to put their heads together and after a couple of minutes said, choose unlimited wisdom. And so... The professor, the dean, looked at the angel and said, well, you heard what they said. I'll take wisdom. Looks like wisdom is the choice. And he said, just as good as done. And then poof, the angel was gone, disappeared in a cloud of smoke. And this professor sitting right there amidst all of his colleagues, and it's gotten real quiet because they're wondering now what the wisest man on earth is going to say. What's the first thing going to be said out of his mouth? Somebody said, say something. And so very carefully and very slowly, but certainly, he said, I should have taken the money. I guess with all of that newfound wisdom, he realized he'd gotten some bad advice. But we find ourselves in a Christmas text this morning in Matthew chapter 2. And there's some very wise men in this Christmas text, and they make some very wise choices. As a matter of fact, what these wise men did is what we ought to be doing, okay? So we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 as we kind of move through the message here in Matthew chapter 2. And here's the first thing that every wise person ought to do. Here's what these wise men did. They came seeking God's presence. They were seeking God's presence. Say that with me. Seeking God's presence. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Did you get that? They came seeking his presence, all right? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Sometime after the birth of Jesus, these wise men show up from the east, probably somewhere around Babylon. And they'd come about 600 miles, and they wind up in Jerusalem. Now, Matthew calls them magi. Now, magi, that word has its roots in Persian culture. And these were stargazers. As a matter of fact, Daniel and Jeremiah call them soothsayers and astrologers. But these men that show up in Jerusalem are very wise. And they gave counsel to kings and royalty. They were academics. They were scholars. These were some very, very wise men, whatever you want to call them. They studied the stars, and they looked at future events. And probably, you remember several hundred years before they show up in Jerusalem, you remember the exiles when the Jews were hauled off to Babylon and then eventually, you know, the Persians took over. You remember who was there? Well, men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Ezra, and some of the prophets. And so I would imagine, just guessing, a lot of scholars, I've got good company here, probably think these astronomers had some type of access to Old Testament texts, manuscripts. And so they had read and heard about the advent of this great Jewish king. And so that's why they come to Jerusalem to worship this king. Now, you need to know this too. There were more than three of them. Sometimes we're so goofy. We really are. Why do we say there was only three wise men? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I'm going to tell you something. Just three people that showed up in Jerusalem wouldn't cause such a big stir. It's probably an entourage of people, okay? Y'all with me so far? All right. So they show up in Jerusalem, and what Matthew clearly communicates is that they came seeking the Jewish king. They came looking for Jesus. Isn't that a great thing? That's what wise folks do. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, are you wise? All right. And did you catch the question that they asked when they got to Jerusalem? Where is he that was born king of the Jews? There's not a better question to ask than that right there. Where is he? Where is Jesus? So they come seeking God's presence. All right. And they're, first of all, they're motivated by a star. Did y'all see that? They're motivated by a star. This is saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. These men had traveled probably over 600 miles, and they'd been led by this miraculous star. Some have suggested, you know, all kinds of things. This was a supernova or blah, 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 blah. But I want to tell you something. This is what I believe. I believe God put that star in the sky. And it was brighter than the North Star. It was a supernatural star. And by the way, Scripture, Jeremiah, Daniel talked about people coming from afar. And Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, Balaam the prophet spoke about a star in Numbers. And Isaiah 60 and verse 3 foretells of kings following after a star. So there's a lot of evidence that this star showing up is a foreshadowing and bringing people to the presence of the Lord. This is the advent of a Jewish king. And so they're studying the skies. They're looking for changes in the heavens. I believe they had access to those Old Testament documents, and God used this miraculous star to summon these Gentile men from their homeland so that they might come and worship the king. Now, they had interpreted the star as an announcement of a great king. That's what led them to get up and travel probably from somewhere in and around Babylon. And they come seeking Jesus. And by the way, this star led them that way. And you know what? Can I just make a quick application here? We've got a very bright light that leads us to Jesus. His name is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit, from time to time. I had a wonderful talk with a couple of our young ladies here Wednesday night. And the Spirit of God's been working in their heart and in their lives. And we're going to be baptizing them next Sunday. And so the Spirit of Almighty God, laid that bright light of His Spirit, is still leading people to Jesus. And here's what I think. I believe that same light is guiding some of you right now. Don't look at the tops of your shoes. All right? God is in the business of bringing people to His Son. Hallelujah. And so wisdom says that wise folks seek God's presence. They were motivated by a star, but then secondly, they were aggravated by a scoundrel. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And that's an understatement right there. And all Jerusalem with him. Now, these wise men that showed up in Jerusalem, they got kind of aggravated. They had to, by this king named Herod. News of their journey to the Holy Land troubled him greatly. And y'all need to know a little something about King Herod. This was a wicked, wicked man. Can you say that word with me? Wicked? That's a descriptive word, isn't it? He is a wicked king. And anyone that tried to, was a threat to his throne, was going to pull away from some of his political prowess and prosperity. Well, anybody that opposed him, you know what he did? He just killed him. He killed his own mama, his own son, his own mother-in-law. I mean, this cat wasn't anybody quite like him. And so he hears of the advent of this Jewish king, and so immediately his radar goes up. And he's troubled. He's upset. And so this schizophrenic king is all over the place. And then all of Jerusalem, it says, is troubled. By the way, another way of application, your actions affect other folks besides yourself. The way we act, the things we say, the things we do, it affects other people. And so remember that this Christmas. All right? All right? Okay. So these wise men show up and they're aggravated by this scoundrel named Herod. And so here's the third thing I wanted to say. They're also educated by Scripture. Let me read verses 4 through 6 again. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and all the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you Bethlehem, this is Micah 5:2 is what this is, but you Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The chief priests and the scribes were the Bible scholars of King Herod's court. They knew the scriptures. And he said, where is this Jewish king? Where is this Messiah supposed to be born? And they got their Bibles out, and guess what? Guess where they wind up at? Bethlehem. It's all throughout the scriptures. And so Bethlehem would be the place where the king was born. And what amazes me is these Jewish scholars knew their Bibles, but they didn't know the Lord. It is possible to be able to quote Scripture and spout Scripture and go to the right verse and all of that and yet not have a relationship with Christ. See that all the time. But while they knew the Scriptures and the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, not a one of those Jewish scholars took the 5-mile hike to Bethlehem to see if that's actually what happened. Doesn't that amaze you? You would think somebody would have said, Hey, I think I'll go find out for myself. The only ones who did that were the wise men. And by the way, 2 Timothy 3:15 says that the Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. The Bible says the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word will guide you and guard you. You do need to know the Word of God. And so amazingly, these wise men were seeking Jesus. Herod was opposing Jesus, and the religious scholars were ignoring Jesus. But wisdom says we seek God's presence. We seek after Jesus. Say it again. We seek God's presence, all right? That's the first great truth. That's what wise people do. And I want to just stop right here real quickly and ask you, are you seeking Jesus? Are you looking to Him? Are you following Him? That's what this life's all about. And if you don't get that in this life, it's going to be trouble in the next life for you. Love you enough to tell you the truth. Here's the second thing that wise folks do. Wise men obey God's Word. Wise men obey God's Word. Say that with me. Wise men obey God's Word. Look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. You see, this schizophrenic nut is wanting to, I mean, he's making plans right now to do away with this Jewish king. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring him back to me that I may come and worship him also. Oh, yeah. That's really what he wants to do. Are y'all following with me? When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, that's Montgomery County for saying, look a here. The star which had been seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, the wise men decided to head out to Bethlehem, okay? And their hearts must have quickened with excitement and anticipation each step that they got closer to Bethlehem. Not because they'd never visited Bethlehem before, but because the Christ child was there. Now, Jesus is probably close to 2 years old here, okay? He's not a little baby. He's not at the cave anymore. He's not at the stable. He's not in the manger any longer. He's in a house. As a matter of fact, Matthew mentions three times that the Christ, he's the young child. Three times it mentions him in that way, young child. But here's what blesses me about the wise men in this passage. They not only believed the Scriptures and knew the Scriptures, they obeyed the Scriptures. They went to worship him in Bethlehem. And by the way, did you catch that? As soon as the Magi acted upon the Word of God, that star reappeared to them. Don't miss that. Obedience will lighten your life. It'll light you up. Now, the wise men acted on it while the religious crowd ignored it. But let me just park right here and just tell you, if you want the abundant life that God wants you to have in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it's found in obedience to God's Word. If you don't have that overflowing, supernatural, abundant, vibrant relationship with Jesus, and you claim to know Him, the problem may be disobedience. I love you enough to tell you the truth, and delayed obedience is disobedience. If you want God's favor and God's blessing on your life, just say yes to Jesus every time He commands you to do something. And so these wise men are being obedient to God's Word. They want to show up and worship the King. And it says that they were what? It says that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Do you know what obedience does for you? It brings joy unspeakable and you'll be full of glory. Amen. Obedience brings that rich, overflowing, supernatural, abundant life to you. Let me just say something to you. This will be a good opportunity for y'all to get me fired today. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you're living in disobedience, God's going to deal with you. And the longer you put off being obedient, the harder it's going to get. And I don't know what it is you got deep down in your spirit that's troubling you this morning. I can, not always, but I can look, and some of you right now are troubled. I don't know what that is. But if you'll just say yes, and just like Mary, like Jesus' mother told the servants at the wedding in Cana, just do what my son tells you to do. Just do what my son tells you to do. We're going to have, here's just a simple thing. After you've been born again, after your life has been turned around and changed, after God's given you a new heart, I'm not talking about after you've been to church or after you've put your tithe in the bucket or after you've done something here. I'm talking about after you've been truly saved and born again. You need, the very first command on your life is to be baptized, scripturally baptized. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but you've got an opportunity next Sunday to be obedient to God's word. And some of you were saved after your first baptism. Some of you claim to be saved and you've never been baptized. And some of you have been, now I'm not saying that, you know, whether you were sprinkled or dipped or whatever. I know that was a meaningful experience for you, but why did Jesus go down to the Jordan River? He went down there to be baptized. Say baptized with me. And so I'm not going to stand on that anymore. But next Sunday, you've got an awesome opportunity to be obedient to God's word. And that's where joy unspeakable begins to flow in your life when you get obedient. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. Some of these brothers and sisters that grew up with me could shout, amen. He's the poster child for that. Glory to God. Wise people, wise men and women obey God's word. By the way, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Any of the rest of you old folks remember that great old hymn? Five of you do. Hallelujah. All right, so that's the second thing that wise folks do. They obey God's word. And then here's the final thing, and this is a good one. Wise men worship God's Son. Watch this. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, say the house with me. He's in a house. He's not in a stable. Probably somewhere around a year and a half, 2 years old here, maybe. They saw the young child. The young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, as the wise men approached the house, the stars right over the house, or at least the Spirit of God's alive and well and leading them, and they found the child in the house, what did they do? They worshiped him, but it's a whole lot more than just saying they worshiped him. They fell down. And that word there means to bow low or to bow down and worship him. Now, hear me well, okay? Muslims don't worship the same God we do. But one thing I like, whenever they're praying, do you know what they're doing? They're on all fours, face down. That's biblical. And even when good Jewish people are praying, they pray towards Jerusalem, they're down like that. Anytime in your Bibles, in the Scripture, when someone finds themselves in the presence of Almighty God, and they're praying and seeking Him, and they're all, you know what they're doing? They're not up jumping around and waving their hands. They are down, bowing down. That's what this altar's for. That was an altar they were bowing down at, because they realized they were in the presence of the King, and they were there to worship. Can your chair, we don't have pews, but can your chair be an altar? Sure it can. But I want to tell you, there's something special about getting down on your hands and your knees and your faces at an altar and bowing down to the King. You know, position and body language and all that stuff speaks volumes, doesn't it? Are y'all with me this morning? We're talking about worship here, okay? And by the way, don't miss this. Giving is a part of worship. I'm not talking about how much or all this stuff. I'm just saying that when you give, that's an act of worship. And I still believe that God loves a cheerful giver. And so maybe, possibly more than in any other text, or any other place of Scripture, the origin of giving gifts at Christmas time is found in the wise men's worship. Giving gifts to one another at Christmas time, that's okay. That's acceptable, as a matter of fact. But why? Because we love one another. And when you love somebody, you want to give them a gift. Unless you're some old tightwad and, you know, you understand what I'm saying? When you love somebody, you want to give, right? Look at your neighbor and say, don't lie to them, but look at your neighbor and say, I'm a giver. I hear somebody laughing. All right, but these wise men, watch this. I think the video mentioned this. These wise men brought three gifts. What were they? Gold. All right, and they're symbolic of at least three things. Each gift has a symbolic importance. Now, gold was a gift for kings and royalty. How fitting is that? They gave the King of Kings the best they had. They gave him gold, the best that they had. And by the way, he still reigns today. He is King of Kings today. He's Lord of Lords. And by the way, my brother, my sister, he deserves your very best. He gave his best, and he deserves your best. Are you praying about Lottie Moon and that Christmas offering that you're going to be bringing to him? I want to tell you, there's not a greater gift that you can give to Jesus this Christmas than in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, because every dime is going to go to getting people to Jesus. All the missionaries are going to get every dime that you all give. We've set a goal of $23,000. Where's Beverly Atkins? Is she up in here today? There she is over here. Well, last Sunday, Billy's Sunday school class, Billy was celebrating his birthday and enjoying some family time. And so I had the blessing of being able to teach the lesson. And so at the end of the lesson, I said, now, we need to set a goal for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And last year, we gave over $20,000, but one gift made up half of that. And so Beverly immediately said, well, I think we ought to do $20,000 for 2023. $23,000 for 23. Really, this is 2022, but, you know. And so I mentioned that, and she said, oh, that's okay. I think we can do that. And so we all, like we all did, we all said yes. And then her phone rang. And I said, that's Lottie Moon calling you. So Beverly gets to make up for the $23,000, all right? Amen. So let me ask you again. What kind of gift are you giving Jesus this Christmas? He ought to get the very best gift you've got, along with me. And I'm praying about what God would have me to give. And it ought to be a gift fit for a king. Hallelujah. God deserves a whole lot more than our leftovers. Amen. Secondly, frankincense. Now, Frankincense normally was a gift that was given to priests because priests were representatives of God. They represented the people to God. And they would take that frankincense and they would place it on the altar, and then incense would make its way up to heaven. And frankincense has a definite odor to it. And it is a sweet-smelling aroma. And I had a buddy in my last church who was on boats, a big, huge boat all the time, all over the world. Every now and then, you know, they'd park and he'd be at church. But he brought me some frankincense one time. He said, and it was around Christmas, and I thought, you know what? It'd be really cool to burn a little frankincense one Wednesday night. Because, you know, the Bible says that the prayers of the saints, that incense that's going up before God, are the prayers of the saints. And I thought, what better way than on prayer meeting night than to burn a little frankincense? And so I had my lighter, and I lit that frankincense, and let me tell you something. That whole place filled up with smoke. We thought the Holy Ghost had really showed up. A gift fit for a priest. And by the way, we don't need an earthly priest because we have a high priest. And he's in glory, interceding for you if you're his. Glory to God. And then myrrh, what about myrrh? Well, most of the time, myrrh was given to prophets, believe it or not. And a prophet was somebody who spoke for God, who spoke truth. Jesus spoke God's truth. He spoke for God because he is God. Does that make sense? And myrrh was also used to embalm people back in the day, and it preserves the body. Jesus not only died for us and lives again for us, but he preserves us. The only reason you're still here is because he's got his hand on you. He preserves us. And so myrrh is symbolic of that. And so there you have the gifts that are fit for a king, a priest, and a prophet. And I don't know what gifts that you're thinking about giving, but here's the best gift you could probably give to him. What happens with most of us is when we come to faith in Christ, we surrender to him as Savior, but we really don't surrender to him as Lord. And we give, you know, we've got these little compartment-like deals in our heart, and we give God our family life, and we'll give God our financial life, and we'll give God our recreational life, and we'll give God our career life, and we'll give, and we just kind of turn these compartments. Why don't you give God today what he may not, all of your heart? Why don't you give God your whole heart today? That'd be a great gift to give him, to surrender everything that you are to everything that he is. By the way, whether you make him Lord or not, he's already Lord. The Bible says there's coming a day God's given him a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what wise people do. They seek God's presence. They obey God's word. And they worship God's Son as Lord. Father, it's decision time here at Second Mile Church. It's the most important time of the service. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit might have his way here right now. That the Spirit of God would lead us to seek your presence, and to obey your word, and to worship you in spirit and truth, Oh God, it's time for us to quit playing church. And it's time for us to get real with Jesus. Oh God, would you do a work here in this place today? There's some that need to come forward for salvation. Oh, we'd love to share with folks how to be saved, how to truly be born again. There's some here that need to come for their baptism. The very first thing a new believer ought to do. And there's some here that need a church home, need a church family. And there's some here, Father, that are lonely, discouraged, beaten up. There's some here who've suffered loss. And there are others here, Lord, that need to be challenged, filled with apathy and unconcern. God, this is your time. This is response time. And I want to say to everybody in the room, everybody 3 years to 93 years, this time is for you. If God's speaking to your heart, I want you to come and worship at an old-fashioned altar and bow down. If you can't bow down, we'll give you a chair to bow down in. And get that thing right with God. Today, do that right now, today. We're going to sing. You just obey what God's telling you to do. Not what the preacher tells you to do, what the Word of God tells you to do. Father, as we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give," help us to ever love and trust you so that we might live in your presence every day. Thank you for this time. Give my brothers, my sisters, give my friends the strength to do what needs to be done today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Don't wait. Just come on right now. The altar will be here, ready for you to pray and worship God, ready for you to pour your spirit out. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.